So some unusual things have been happening to me through my times in worship. I don't know how many more opportunities like this to talk about worship he's going to give me before we go on to the changes that it's producing. I think this is kind of a transition message right here. Something's happening to me. I haven't had one of those experiences where I personally, in my time of worship, have just had tears for hours and hours. I've had tears, but it hasn't been just an overwhelming presence at this moment. But something has changed. And you know, whenever there's a subtle change inside of you, you don't all of a sudden just notice it. It's like you turn around and look and you realize, I'm different. When did this happen? And whenever this began to, when I began to notice it, I began to notice it because of the words that were coming out of my mouth when I would worship him. All of a sudden, the things that I began to say in worship, it's like my mind said, are you sure about this? Because it's like inside of me, folks, I just want to lay more of my life down. More and more and more. And when I get alone with him and I worship him, it's just all I can do to I just want to, Lord, take more of me. Is there any more left of me? I want you to have it. I want to lay it at your feet. I want to read you a couple of things that these are statements that I've heard coming out of my mouth during worship. Holy Ghost, help me. Show me how to turn all of myself over to you, God. Until all of me is gone and only you remain. I want to be lost in you. Father, I belong to you. I'm yours. As I said this, the reality that my life is not my own seemed to flood my spirit. And this one statement, became more than just words to me. I trust you. I trust you. You know, when you spend extended periods of time worshiping him, and you say, I love you, I worship you about 1,000 times, your soul, your mind has no idea that there's something happening inside of you. It doesn't know. It's kind of like, and I'll get into this more as the message unfolds, it's kind of like what happens when you spend a few hours going, Koraba Sandaraba Shotosi. When you spend an extended period of time doing that, something's happening in your spirit. And your soul is oblivious to that. Has no idea. The same thing is happening when you spend those extended periods of time worshiping him. Something happens in your spirit. And your soul is oblivious to it. Do you know when I'm sitting there and I'm saying, I worship you, Jesus. Do you know that my soul is the one that has to decide to do that? Isn't that scary? That something so precious is left to such a thing as a soul to make the decision to worship, to make the decision to allow my spirit to fellowship with my Creator is left in the hands of my soul. The idea originates in my spirit, but the decision to do it is not in my spirit, it's in my soulish man, my mind, my will, my emotions, my intellect. And the very words that I say, my mind comes up with those words. But it's birthed in my spirit, but my mind is uttering these words, and it has no idea what is going to happen when I do this. It is so much like praying in tongues. Except here, my mind is involved with offering up this worship. But can you imagine my soul, what my soul must think when it hears these words? I want to lay my life down at your feet, Jesus. My soul is saying, wait a minute. Hold on. Are we sure about this? That did not originate in my soul. That was birthed in my spirit. And just like whenever, and I'm getting way ahead of myself, but we'll catch up to it. Just like whenever I'm going, and I'm doing this for extended periods of time. And all of a sudden, in that Lamb's room of worship, where my spirit is, comes over to that door and says, come here, soul, I got something to tell you. And you get a revelation. And all of a sudden, what you'd never understood before, it's just poof, blows up in your soul, in your mind, and you understand it. Oh, I've known that all my life. But now, it's happening to me in worship. And it's not revelation knowledge necessarily, although there has been revelation that I have received through this time of fellowship. But what's happening is these words are passing over from my spirit into my soul. And I'm saying things. I'm saying things that are coming into my mind via my spirit. And I'm saying, Mark, are you really sure about this? Are you really sure that you want to make these kind of steps? It's like being in a big swimming pool. And here's Mark. He's down in the kiddie pool, about knee high. Jesus is out there over his head, but he's standing on the water. But he's saying, come here, Mark. Come this way. And I'm saying, Jesus, I feel really safe right here in the kiddie pool, about knee high. I feel really safe here, okay? And he's just standing there. And he's saying, come to me. I can't tell you the number of times that I hear this inside of me. Come to me. Come to me. But Jesus, you're standing on that water. And I know that with you all things are possible. But Jesus, if I step out there, won't I go over my head? And he's still saying, come to me. Trust me. Trust me. I could have prayed endless prayers, folks, asking him to give this to me. But it's not something that he gives you. It's something that happens to you as you worship him. You become his servant. And that's what we're going to talk about today. You want to lay your life down. I can have all kind of prayer lines and tell you that you can come up here and I can lay my hands on you and you'll become a servant. But you know what? That wouldn't be true. You become a servant in your heart first as you worship him. As you worship him. as you tell Him over and over and over how much you love Him. Something happens in you. And your will begins to line up with His will. Telling you what, folks, it's just like exploding on the inside of me how this happens. It's just the most amazing thing that I can just sit there and spend time just worshiping Him. And inside of me, in my spirit, there's a changing going on inside of me. A changing that makes me want to lay everything down before Him. Everything that I am. Thoughts that are coming to me now are thoughts about, Mark, these are the steps in the future that I want you to take. Not yet, but this is where you're going. And I look at those, and if I think about them in my mind, I think, Jesus, I'm back here in the kiddie pool. That's impossible. But the more I worship Him, the more I want to follow this, the more I want to go His way. The more I want to step out there with Him, the more I want to. The more I spend time with Him, the more I worship Him. The more that I dethrone my soul. When you're worshiping Him, you're placing Him on that throne that your soul is sitting on. And all of a sudden I'm realizing my soul is not too sure about this. Does it really want to give up its preeminence in my life? But fortunately, my spirit man has developed to the point that I'm still going in that closet. I'm still worshiping Him. I can't encourage you enough to do this. I cannot encourage you enough to set aside time. I don't care how much it is. I'm not going to try and tell you spend hours. Some of you don't have hours. Spend what you have. He'll take that. He'll work miracles with that. If you'll do something, this will change you. This will affect you in the part of you that you can't change yourself. It will change you. Some of you are asking, I hear you talking about becoming a servant. I hear you talking about worshiping Him. And yes, I'm so thankful that He died for me. But I just don't know about spending that kind of time. I don't really know if it's really something I ought to do. I want to give you an example through one of the experiences of Jesus. Turn to John chapter 13, verse 17 is where we're going to begin at. I'm going to need a couple of, or about three men to help me with this. If you could come up here. Come on up here. Grab a chair, if you would. And just line up right here with, yeah, grab one of those chairs right there. You guys are disciples. Just bring it right up here so they can, yeah. Go ahead right there. All right, John 13. 17. If you know these things, this is Jesus speaking. If if you know these things, happy are you that do them. I want to be happy. Do you want to be happy? We're not talking about joy. We're talking about happiness. I want to be happy. Let's go back one more verse and see what I have to do to be happy. Verse 16. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant, and that's translated slave, in the original, the word he used is slave, is not greater than his Lord. Neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. When did Jesus say this? Well, Jesus has just washed the feet of the disciples. I've thought about this. I've meditated on this. Too many times whenever I read Jesus and what he's done, in my mind, I see him as either God or man. If I don't consciously stop and look at it and say, he is God-man, I'll look at it and I'll see him as one or the other. In this instance, I've seen him so often as I've read this, just unconsciously looking at this, the account of him washing the feet, and seen him as a man. He did not wash their feet just as a man. Here's God. Here is God kneeling down in front of the disciples. Everything that you see with your eyes came from the inside of him who knelt down in front of his creation. A few weeks ago, Gary did a demonstration. The power of these demonstrations are incredible. When we left, Debbie said, you know, I've heard Gary say this so many times. And he was talking about when the devil had attacked him in his back. And he was on the couch, and in order to get to the bathroom, he had to crawl on the floor. Watching him do that, seeing him do that, impacted her so much. I tried to get away from this little example, but on the way out this morning, he said, nope, you're going to do this. Don't worry, I'm not going to wash your feet. But so he had a little container. The God that created everything took a container. He had the water. He put it in the container. He took a towel. He girded himself. You see, in this time period, the travelers would come into the homes. Travelers would have dirty feet. It wasn't the master that washed those feet. That was not his job. That was for the lowest person in the household. That was their job. So he had his pail of water. He girded the towel around him that he was going to dry their feet with. And he went one by one by one. He knelt down. Now remember this. This is God who created everything. Everything that you see. He knelt down in front of you. You see, these men, they represent mankind. One by one, he took their feet and he washed away the sin of betrayal from the feet of mankind. He took this place for you. Let that sink in for a minute. The one that created everything took this position because of the love that he has for you. And it wasn't just 11 disciples. There was one in that group who would betray his very life. He washed his feet too. And this morning as I was thinking about this, I thought, Lord, you could have just washed his feet. You could have just, because you knew who it was. You knew it was Judas. So why not just take Judas aside and just kneel down in front of him? Because, Mark, it wasn't just his feet that I washed. It wasn't just his betrayal. It was the betrayal of all of mankind. He loved you this much. You see, when he hung on the cross, sometimes you can kind of get lost in thinking that he did it for all of mankind. And it's so wonderful. But when he steps in front of you and he kneels down in front of you and he picks up your feet and he washes your feet, it's personal. Do I think I can worship him a little more now? Oh, yes. Do I think that he's worthy? Oh, yes. He made a few statements. Let's read a few of these statements. I think we should probably just read the whole account. Beginning in chapter 13, verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper, laid aside his garment, and took a towel, and girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin, and began to wash the feet of the disciples, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. The very water, folks, the very water that he used to wash their feet. He created it. The very ground. When he took that basin and And he knelt down before him. The very ground that he was kneeling on, he created it. And here he's kneeling on it, holding the feet of his creation because of the love. See, this is what's dawning on me. How much he loves me. He didn't have to do all of this, folks. All this that you see, he didn't have to do it. The world that we have, you sitting in that seat right now, he did not have to do this. It was love. It was love that brought all of this into existence. If only, he had to have these thoughts. If only there could be someone with which I could love and who could love me. Who could love me, not because of a force, but could love me out of a genuine heart that surrendered to me, that trusts me. If only I could show my love to them and them to me. That's what we're here for. It's all about love. It's all about love. Do you understand this? It is all about love. Take love away, and you've taken it all away. It's love. And in order for you to think like he does, this love has to develop in you. It's in that Lamb's room of fellowship. When you're alone with him, and you spend that time and you worship him, that this love is cultivated. And you find yourself beginning to say things that you never dreamed you'd say. I will lay down my life for you. I will lay down my life for you. Folks, you can say that, but until it's something that you believe in your heart, it's just words. It's just words. What I'm talking about is born out of this fellowship with him, this communion with him, where your heart is changed. And it's no longer, I'm going to do this because I know it's the right thing to do. It's because this love has become your reason for doing everything that you do. I agree with Pastor Dave. Pastor Dave talks about this love and the compassion. And it's this compassion that's going to empty the children's hospitals. It's this compassion that's going to allow you to stand in front of the blind person and watch their eyes healed. Do you want that? I want this. And the more that I spend time with him, do you know what's happening? The more I want to spend time with him. The more I want to. Yeah, there's still times that my soul wants to fuss. The more I do it, there's something inside of me that's changed, that craves to be in his presence. Craves to be alone with him, just to hear something from him. that I know will change me. Turn to Luke 4. I want to give you a little more evidence. A little more evidence of the love that I'm talking about here. This is another instance in which I've read it time and time again, the temptation of Jesus. You're all familiar with it. But subconsciously in my mind, there's been times that I've read this, and you know what I've subconsciously grabbed hold of? Oh, but this is God. What temptation? This is God. Yes, but is God man? Listen to me. The only way it was a temptation, this is deep calleth unto deep, is because he was tempted. It's the only way it was a temptation. You see, in your mind, you categorize this like I do, and you think, well, that's God. 40 days in the wilderness, he was hungry. And if you read here in Luke now, I know there's some debate, was he tempted the whole 40 days? Knowing how the devil is, I wouldn't put it past him that he was tempted throughout the whole time. But let's read here in Luke, verse 1. Jesus being full of the Holy Ghost. I can't start there. In chapter 3, verse 21. Now when all the people were baptized, came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. Now let's jump down to chapter 4, verse 1. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. See here, to read that, it sounds like that whole the whole experience, there were temptations there. And in those days, he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterwards hungered. Verse 3, and the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God. If. Stop there. We already read what Luke said. When Jesus was baptized, God the Father spoke from heaven. What did he say? This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. This is the way the enemy operates. As soon as you hear those words of instruction, as soon as you hear your Father speaking to you, there's a challenge that's being issued by the enemy. Are you going to believe him? Are you going to trust him? He doesn't change his tactics. He did the same thing in the garden. Did God say? It's the same technique. He'll do it every time to you. You step out in faith. Mark, you make those steps. Immediately there he is. Did God say? Are you sure? Can you trust him? Do you really believe that it was him? Do you really believe that he's going to take care of you? Do you really believe when you go into the deep end of the pool that you're not going to drown, Mark? Every step of the way, he's going to challenge those words. And you have to have something going on inside of you that you can know that it was God. Not just hope that it was God, but you know it. I'm dealing with this right now myself, because as I see him draw, beckoning me to come out there with him on the water, in the natural, everything in my mind says, these are the reasons why you can't do that. Reason number one. Reason number two. And the list goes on and on. But it doesn't stop him from saying, come to me. But Daddy, what I'm really saying is, but Daddy, are you really going to take care of me? Are you really going to keep me from drowning if I come to you? See, this is part of what's happening inside of me through this worship. Trust. My trust is growing in him. My trust in him is developing. What before I started this wasn't even a thought in my mind has now, well, I can't say that. It was a thought, but it was a distant thought. Has now become very possible. You see, I see him saying, Mark, I want all of your time. This is the point that I'm wanting you to come to. I want all of you. Come to me. He wants all of you too. He wants all of you too. I don't know what form that's going to take in your life, what he's going to ask of you. I do know this. It will demand faith. It'll demand it. It's impossible to please him without it. It will demand an unwavering trust in him. You see, in your life today, like in mine, I trust him up to a certain point. I hate that. But it is the truth. The one who knelt down and washed my feet, I can't trust him with everything the way I want to. Because I'm afraid. And he's telling me, don't be afraid. I created all of this. I knelt down before you and washed your feet clean. Trust me. Can you trust me? What I'm talking about is not the everyday Christian's life. Can you all understand that? This is not what the run-of-the-mill Christian thinks their Christianity is about. I mean, so many of them think it's a ticket to heaven. I want heaven now. I want to live there now. I want to fellowship with him now. I hear his voice more clearly now than I have in such a long time. It's because I'm spending time with him. I'm becoming familiar with his voice. We got enough time to read this. I sent this email to a friend of mine yesterday. I want to read just part of it. What this is dealing with is just the realization of this Lamb's Room of Fellowship. See, I was on the phone the other night and somebody made that comment to me. And when they did, you know, it was God that he said it. It was God that the person said it. They don't even realize how much God that was. At the time they didn't, they do now. The Lamb's Room of Fellowship. It's where you go when you spend time with him. And it's not just through your time praying in tongues. It has to do with the similarities between praying in tongues and private worship. The desire to worship like tongues originates in my spirit. It is my soul in both cases where the decision is made to do so, either pray in tongues or worship. And then it's my body that actually puts a voice to what I'm doing. Unlike tongues, my worship requires my mind to generate the words. But I can tell you from my experience that even the soul is actively a part of the process. It has no idea what is happening in my spirit. All the while, my spirit is in direct fellowship with God. And the attributes, listen to this, the attributes of his nature are being developed in me. And the desire is growing within me to lay down my life at his feet. Do you think my soul has any idea this is taking place? No. My soul has no idea that it's losing its dominance with every word that comes out of my mouth. It has no idea. Here it's an active participant in the dethroning of itself. It is an active participant in the dethroning of itself. It has no idea. I didn't realize this was happening to me until I turn around and look and see, oh my gosh, look at what I'm becoming. I want that to just sink into you. Think about what this can do for your life. All of those areas where you're so defeated because you don't trust him. All of those areas where you know in your mind, I should be able to get past this, and you don't. Does anybody know what that feels like? We'll pray for the rest of you later. It's there, folks. Those areas are there. And I'm giving you this. He's giving you this. I'm just the mouthpiece. I'm just the one that realized it because he told me about this. If you will worship him, you'll change and you'll get past those things because you'll trust him. All I want to do is trust him more. All I want to do is lay my life down more for him. And all the time, all of those times before, he's just had to look at me and think, you've got to change inside first, Mark. You've got to change inside first. And that's what I'm doing. Remember the scripture? John 13:17. Happy are you. This is the path to being happy. You see, he took that role of a servant. He knelt down. And he's wanting us to kneel down in front of each other. To lay our life down before him. To kneel down and wash one another's feet. Let me give you a little secret here. Your life is not your own. You can't say that enough. Your life is not your own. You have been bought. Think God is right. What you do with this message, what you do with it, is what's going to determine the course of your life. Are you going to leave it here in this building? Are you going to do it? It's the same thing with praying in tongues. You know, Pastor Dave, year after year, has shown you through his own life, through the changes in the man's life, he's shown us what's possible if we'll do it. If you do this, I can tell you just from my short experience doing this, you'll change. Now your soul might not like it. If you still want your soul to be on that throne of your life, don't do this. Don't do it. Because it won't like it. But if you're tired of going around that mountain one more time, and you just get to that place where you're so fed up with being fed up, with being frustrated, with seeing the mountain again, that you're just to that place where you say, I'm going to sit here, I'm going to do this, because I'm tired of the scenery here and I want to see something different. This will take you to that other place. Do you love me? As I said at the beginning, I don't know in the future. I don't know what the future has. I don't know what he wants me to say. I believe that it's, like I said, a transition message. Now we're talking about what's possible. The life of a servant. The life of someone willing to lay down everything. What's possible? Father, thank you. Thank you, Holy Ghost, for speaking through me. I believe that I've said everything you wanted said. My prayer for the people is this, that they'll make the decision to get alone with you, to love on you, to dethrone that soul of theirs as I'm doing, to be changed forever. In Jesus' name, amen. I'll see you back here in half an hour.